If you're haunted and harassed by your own inner critic, if you've ever been curious about why hypnosis works so well, if you're a seasoned hypnotist, or if you suspect that the inner critic is actually hypnotizing you to hold back from reaching the greatness that you know deep down is inside you, lean in and get inspired to get out of your comfort zone and create your one precious life with purpose and intention. If you like this show, you'll love my powerful hypnosis audio, The Answer Room, because it gives you crystal clear guidance and direction and illuminates an ingenious way to make triumphant decisions, no matter how stuck you feel or how confused you were. This powerful hypnosis audio is my gift to you when you go to theimpostermonster.com. Again, that's theimpostermonster.com. Don't forget the. Theimpostermonster.com. And yes, I'm done saying it. Thank you. Thank you from the bottom of my heart for listening. I'm Lori Hammond, and I'm truly grateful for you. Welcome, everyone. Today, I have with me Jess Fleischer. She is a two-time English kickboxing champion and a second-degree black belt. She is a hypnotherapist and the founder of I Am Fighting Fit, which empowers wholehearted health. As a person who has struggled with low self-esteem herself, Jess has a mission to speak on stages globally, inspiring and creating confidence in individuals who need it the most. And I am so excited to have you here today, Jess. You and I just very recently connected. I don't know a whole lot of your story, but I was intrigued. And I love the idea of getting to know you in a way that the audience can eavesdrop on. I wanted to have you here because I see you as an action taker. You're someone who said you've listened to some of my podcasts, and I know you've been influenced by Freddie Jacquin and others in this amazing community. And so I love the idea of just unpacking what has inspired you to take action. And I'm going to turn the floor over to you. If you want to just tell me about yourself, tell me what prompted you to reach out and anything else you want us to know.
Okay, well, I'll start by saying thank you. Thank you for allowing me onto your podcast because it truly has inspired me. As somebody who is still practicing hypnotherapy under Freddie Jacquin as part of the Jacquin Hypnosis Academy. And it was a couple of weeks ago now, a good friend of mine, Justin Saul, he's also practicing. He sent me your podcast with Carl Smith and told me to listen to it. So I did. And then I was hooked. And then every day I spend an hour walking around the woods to make sure I get time out, keep myself active. And I was listening to what everybody was saying, yourself, your guests, about that imposter monster, that stepping out of your comfort zone. And I have this mission to speak on stages globally, creating confidence in those who need it the most. And I thought, I wonder if she'll allow me on her podcast. If I don't ask, I'll never know. And that in itself was stepping out of my own comfort zone. But you won't become a champion if you don't step into the ring. So I decided to ask, and here we are today. So that's awesome. How I found out about you. And I find you incredibly inspirational.
Thank you so much. And that's a big reason I wanted to have you on, because I know firsthand what it's like to be afraid and do it anyway. And that's actually how I felt when I reached out to Freddie Jacquin the very first time. I thought, this guy is like a celebrity in the hypnosis world. He's probably not even going to see my email. And it's so, you know, if we never try, we're right back at the same place. If we try and someone says no, or they ignore us or whatever, we're back in the same place we would have been if we didn't ask. So I love that. I see that same willingness to do it, even if it's scary. And that's what intrigued me. So when you and I messaged a little bit, you mentioned that you're a kickboxer. And I think that is so awesome. I've always really admired strong women, like physically strong. And when I might've been pregnant with one of my babies and who are now in their 20s, I watched a movie called Girl Fight with Michelle Rodriguez. And I just thought she was so, I thought I want to be a kickboxer, but I like the idea of being punched in the face was too scary. So I never did. But tell me a little bit about what brought you into kickboxing and what you love about it.
I love it because it pushes me. It pushes me to improve. It pushes me way out of my comfort zone. I was never a fighter. I never identified as a fighter. I never identified as anybody with any form of fitness or an athlete or any of those words that we associate with successful physical. I began when I was 19 and I had cripplingly low self-esteem, and I wanted to. There was a part of me that wanted to kickbox. I looked at it and I thought it looked amazing, but it took me 4 years. So I first saw it when I was 15 and I couldn't do it. I was quite fat as a teenager, fat, insecure. But over the next few years, I lost a bit of weight, but I didn't develop any fitness. I didn't develop any confidence. I just was making my way through life, doing okay. Then finally, my boyfriend encouraged me. He held my hand. He took me there to the gym. He was already training. He'd started a couple of months previously. And that was how it began, having somebody to help me overcome that fear. And then once you get going, the hardest part is stepping through the door. And then you feel it. You feel that physical fear inside you. You have to overcome it. And then throughout the journey, it's a constant improvement. There's ups, there's downs, there's wins, there's losses. I had a lot of losses in the ring. I wasn't a natural fighter. I lost my first 5 fights before I got a win. And that was tough. That was tough to keep going. But luckily, I had a fantastic coach. He's one of my best friends now. He runs the gym that I'm part of, Upgrade Martial Arts and Upgrade Training and Therapy. And he said to me when I was struggling, he said, "You're not a natural fighter, but you are a natural coach. You will go on. This will become part of your story and you will inspire others. Stay strong now. Get back in that ring. Get that win you deserve, the win that you work so hard for, and this will forever be part of you." And I'm so glad he said that to me at that point, because my motivation has always been to coach other people. I've been running a female-only kickboxing class for just over 4 years because I know how difficult it is to be the only woman in a male-dominated sport. It's scary. It's tough. So I'm there to offer that introduction to kickboxing in a safe environment, increase their confidence. And that's the biggest thing that most women get out of kickboxing. They come in anxious with low self-esteem, and they leave with a greater confidence, a greater skill set. It's just fantastic. As well as the physical health benefits, it has so many mental health benefits too.
I feel emotional just listening to this. It is such an inspiration. And I'm wondering, when you lost those first 5 fights and you said that your coach really helped you with that, do you remember the feeling that you had maybe when you lost that first fight or even the 5th fight, and what allowed you to rise up and keep moving forward?
The first fight was awful. I'll do it in chronological order. Yeah. It was so, so tough. I thought that I'd trained enough, and I thought I had an idea that, oh, this is going to be tough, but it'll be okay. It was so much tougher than I expected. And I walked out, I wobbled out the ring. In fact, my legs were shaking and I fell into the arms of my boyfriend and I went, "I can't walk." Like, I was near, so close to tears, and the pain, out of breath, the shock, the adrenaline rush, then the adrenaline dump. And I was like, "I can't do this again." And he said, "Calm down, sit down, recover. You will do this again. You're resilient. You've got this." And we had some issues with the club, and the club failed. I went traveling. I went to Southeast Asia on my own for a couple of months. Over a year, I was working and I wasn't really achieving a lot. And then I decided while I was traveling that I really need to go back to kickboxing. I really miss it. And it was my passion. It was what was keeping me going. It was my purpose for work. So I found another club. I dedicated really hard to my training. I got really heavily involved. I found these amazing teams of coaches, amazing teammates to support me, friendships for life. And I got into boxing alongside the kickboxing, really started to develop this skill set. And I thought, okay, I'm ready now. I'll fight again. And I got an incredibly tough opponent. It was on a mat fight. So it wasn't like in the nightclubs, the big ones that I built up to. It was at a lower level, apparently. I fought her. I didn't give up. She kicked me across the face, gave me a nosebleed. And at the end, I remember her coach coming over to me and saying, "You're one tough cookie." So although I lost with a bloody nose, I felt a sense of achievement because I found out afterwards that she'd been training for 8 years to my year and a half, 2 years training. So that was an accomplishment. And I knew that one, I knew I'm going back. I'm going back in the ring. I'm going to train. I'm going to win. Another loss, one that I thought I won, but apparently didn't kick enough. So another loss. Then we made the switch to go full contact. So full contact versus light contact. Full contact is in nightclubs. It's 2 minute rounds instead of 1 minute rounds. And your aim is to knock each other out, opposed to technically win. At my weight and size, you do generally technically win on the judges' scorecards. You don't tend to get knocked out. It's not a, well, it is a real fear. Definitely it's a real fear. But compared to like the big men, it's fairly safe. There are referees, there's a medical team, but it's that step up into the, oh, I'm playing big now. This is scary. But it made me switch on. It made me really, really focus on my training. And I really thought I was going to win that fight. And guess what? I lost. And I cried. That one I cried. That one I was so, all of the emotions just came out. I was like, I can't do this anymore. But I'm not giving up. And she was amazing. She was my first full contact fight and my third full contact fight. I had the privilege of fighting her again after getting a win. And she was just incredible. And that third fight, after winning a fight, finally I felt, yes, I've won. But I still felt a little bit of disappointment inside of me. That would be the perfectionism coming in, I think. Something which I've struggled with throughout my life. And then the third fight, I lost again to her. But I'd improved so much, so I had to go away and I had to take the positives and I had to reframe my thinking and think, it's not just losses. Every loss you're learning, every loss you're improving. And that was how my fighting went until I became a champion, really. After that loss, I had another loss, which was hell. It was the worst fight of my life. And then I started winning. Finally, after a lot of losses. A lot of tough fights with some of the best women in the world. My last loss, the toughest fight of my life, she went on to become a 2x European champion. She narrowly missed out on becoming a world champion. There is still a part of me that wants to fight her again.
Yes,
but she's gone on and she's done so well. But I've gone on and I've won my title fights. I've become a champion too. And I'm like, it wasn't that far apart, our fights, and maybe. But maybe that's just my ego. Maybe it wouldn't be sensible.
I think it's absolutely incredible. So do you still actively fight, or are you mostly training others?
I'm mostly training others. With COVID and lockdown, training to fight hasn't been possible. But going back to that good friend in the gym, he's there to support me in my training, but also my life and my business, because we're best friends. And I was training for my second title fight. So I'd become a champion. That amazing moment, that profound moment that I go back to in all positive hypnosis. I pull forward becoming a champion, that focus, that drive. It's amazing. The second one, though, I was training. The nerves started to hit me. The pressure started to hit me of, I'm already a champion. What if I lose this one? What if that undoes the first one? How will I justify this? Okay, I know how to deal with loss. It's okay, that voice inside my head, but it's not okay. This is a title fight. This is becoming a champion twice over, but it undoes the first one. So I had to calm down. I also had the stress of starting my own business. So I'd gone self-employed at this point, and I hadn't realized how many hours it takes, how much work it takes. I thought, I'll be self-employed. I can arrange my own time. I can do this. This will be fine. And then it all hit me and I just started crying. He gave me a hug and he said, get this fight out of the way and have a break. And I was like, no, I don't want to fight. I am fighting fit. I do this. I'm a fighter. I'm a fighter and I'm a coach. I will succeed. I'll keep going. But lockdown prevented that. It answered the question for me. And then since then, I've had the time to reflect. And the way that my business is going, the way that my life is going, I'm not sure if it would be sensible to fight again, because it takes so much time, so much energy. And I genuinely am. I'm loving the hypnotherapy. I'm not going to stop coaching kickboxing, but I do it alongside everything else that I do. And that's where the speaking comes in. It's the same physiological response of stepping in a ring. You still get that fear. It's one of the biggest fears in the world, speaking publicly. So instead of becoming a world champion, I can speak on stages globally. And the positive impact that will have on people's lives is far greater than stroking my own ego to say, I'm better than an English champion, I'm a world champion. So truthfully, probably not. I probably won't, not at that level anyway, fight again.
Well, I just see how your history has set you up to position you to be that global speaker. I can literally see you on stage as you're speaking, because a person who has overcome those physical challenges and learned those principles at such a young age, you're in such a great place to have that success. Will you talk to me a little bit more about what brought you to hypnotherapy and what you're doing with it now and how it's impacted your life?
It's completely transformed my life. It's amazing. It's incredible. A good friend of mine, Justin, I mentioned him at the beginning, he'd been following the Jacquins for, I think it's been nearly 10 years, but hasn't trained under them. And he found out about this opportunity to train with them online, which through the Hypnosis Academy, it's an incredible opportunity. And he was talking to me about it, about how it would be amazing for me to have as part of my skill set, how he thinks I'd be good at it, how he thinks I'd enjoy learning it, because I love learning. And I ummed and ahed about it a little bit. I was like, I don't really know if I believe in hypnosis even. Is it really a thing? I don't know. I was like, but then I decided, how can you dismiss something unless you give it a go? What's the worst case scenario? You try and learn it, you give it a go, and you decide it's not for you. And then you can, hand on heart, say it didn't work. But it's the complete opposite. Absolutely. I started experiencing it. And where we practice on each other, where I've got friends now who are hypnotherapists, I've been experiencing it. And it's helping me personally overcome traumas that I never overcame until now. I realized that I've spent my life fighting, physically, metaphorically, to get away from trauma, which I didn't deal with when I was a child. Hypnotherapy is allowing me to heal from that. So I know how powerful it is firsthand, and I am ready to help other people transform their lives with it too.
That's incredible. I felt the same way when I came to hypnosis. I thought, oh, this is kind of scary. I was raised in a very religious home, and I wasn't even allowed to watch Scooby-Doo because there was hypnosis in it. And I thought that there was something kind of scary and evil. But I was so desperate. I was so desperate. I was willing to look into it. And I love what you said about how can you basically don't knock it till you try it. And for me, finally, just being willing to look into it. And I feel like it is truly the most neuroscience-based modality out there, because it really looks at how we wire in trauma from the past and uses reverse engineers that same process to let you release that trauma. Are you comfortable talking a little bit more, just because I think people who have been through trauma themselves might really enjoy hearing, not enjoy, but resonate with your story if you're willing to share that?
Yeah. So I grew up with both of my parents being drug addicts and alcoholics, and it was tough. I practice a lot of gratitude. Someone said I need to add more emotion into my story to draw people into it. But if anybody's experienced trauma, they will know how it feels. Yes. It was tough. We had social services involved. And my teenage years were the hardest. I don't remember struggling too much as a child. I went to a good school. I had good friends. I think that's where the perfectionism came in and the avoidance. Because by the time I got to being a teenager, I had this pressure to be academic. And I think this is where hypnotherapy has helped me go inside and reflect on all of this. I've remembered things that I had no recollection of and no understanding of, which I now do. I remember being in year 10 at the beginning of the year. I'd missed most of year 9, hadn't sat the exams. We had to sit an exam and I got the lowest mark. So I got sat at the front, and we all had to write in our books how we're going to achieve a star. And I just felt awful. I don't think I attended another maths class after that, because I had the capability, but I failed in my mind. I wasn't perfect. I wasn't good enough, because the previous years to that I was one of the best in the class. I was always achieving the top results. So I stopped going to school. I stopped attending. I didn't get any exam results. And I thought that was it. I have nothing left in my life. I'm not academic. I didn't believe I was sporty or creative or musical or any of these things. So I thought, what should I do? I went and worked in a family pub, because that's what my dad's always done. He's always worked in hospitality. So I ended up working for him. But until I found kickboxing. I still carried on working in the pub, but kickboxing was the thing that began to transform my life. And I thought I was fine. I thought by the time I got to 19 and was and kickboxing and had been working in the pub, had my own income, had my boyfriend, happy life. I thought, that's it. All these people that complain about trauma holding them back and suffering with anxiety and depression, oh, it's not really a thing. I'm great. I'm fine. I'm fantastic. I'm resilient. I'd been convincing myself these things throughout my life. The anxiety that fighting brought on was actually a mask of the fact that I live with anxiety. Mm. It was only a couple of months ago that someone said to me I was going with shoulder pain, and I've had shoulder pain for about 9 months now. It has got better through practicing mindfulness, through hypnotherapy, through relaxation, through easing off the physical exercise and allowing it to rehabilitate physically and mentally. I didn't realize I was living in this heightened state of anxiety because I'd never relaxed. And she said to me, do you know how to relax? Not in a patronizing way, but she was guiding me to relax. And I'm like really, really, really tense all the time like this. And it's just, and hypnotherapy, I'm a really good hypnotic subject. I think it's just because I'm longing to relax. Mm. And it's learning that.
Yeah.
Allowing yourself to relax, allowing yourself to let go for that moment, being guided by someone you trust, and going back and where it speaks to the subconscious mind. I didn't pick the things that I chose to look at. I really, really like the time machine, and I really like timeline therapy. I'm really interested in it because it's allowed me to go back and see parts of my past that I had no memory of, and I had no realization that it impacted me for so long. Like when I was really young, 6, 7, comments. I remember being in the pub being told that I have no rhythm and I can't dance. Even my baby brother had better rhythm than me, so I didn't dance after that because I believed that I have no rhythm and I can't dance. Who says that to a 6-year-old? So yeah, it's really, really helped me. I'm still working it all out, but tough upbringing, tough teenage years, okay adult life, but hypnotherapy is allowing it all to just heal.
Thank you for sharing that. And for anyone listening, I will put links to Freddie and Anthony's hypnosis training in the notes below. I've also had Freddie on the podcast twice, so those will be really valuable to listen to. And when you mentioned the time machine, that's also Freddie's protocol. And anyone who's listening can read about that in his hypnotherapy book, which I highly recommend, and get it on Audible because you can listen to Freddie read it, and Freddie hypnotizes you throughout the book. Okay, this is so incredible. I am so happy that I said yes when you reached out to me. I feel like you are just, you're unlocking that part of me that, for me, it was like a 20-something watching that movie with the girl. I don't even remember now if she was kickboxing or it was another form of martial arts, but there is, you know, when I was a little girl, I remember pretending to be Wonder Woman and really truly believing I could be Wonder Woman. And I think we all have locked inside of us this part of us that knows what a beautiful impact we can have on the world and the life of passion and inspiration that's available to us. And so few people are brave enough to step into it. And so I love that you had your boyfriend that supported you, your coach that supported you, these people that have come into your life. And anyone listening, if you don't feel like you have that person, let Jess and I be that person for you. We're recording this podcast for you. I'll put Jess's contact info below if you want to reach out to her. You know how to get a hold of me. This is so awesome. Okay, I'm going to peek at my notes and see you. So you have mentioned perfectionism, and I think this is something that I think it's one of the imposter monster's favorite tricks. And one of the most valuable books, parenting books I read when I was raising my kids. I was also a perfectionistic parent, and I would read all these books about how to be the perfect mom. And my favorite one was a book about birth order. And I'm a firstborn. Are you a firstborn as well?
Yep.
Okay, I thought you were. Firstborns and only children, and anyone, but especially those that birth order tend to be really perfectionistic. And the book I read talked about the discouraged perfectionist. And this is what I hear when you talk about math class, like, if I can't do it perfectly, I'm just going to stop. And so it was so enlightening for me to understand that perfectionism, I had kind of bragged about it before, like I thought it was awesome, to realize that it's an opportunity to be flexible and release some of those high standards. And I really think that high achievers are people who have released perfectionism and been willing to do it anyway. So will you just talk to me a little bit about your journey past perfectionism?
I think the journey past, I have to reflect back on it because I only started reading about it in the last year or so. Brené Brown was my big influence for it. I think she's amazing. But I think I had it. I think I had this from as early as I can remember, because what I've tried to reflect back on, that pressure to be the one that keeps on top of everything. I think the difficult upbringing with parents who weren't always there, like they were there physically, but weren't always emotionally there, emotional neglect, I guess. So I had to always be present. I always had to be the one, especially with the younger siblings. And when things got worse, it's that pressure that you put on yourself or your environment puts upon you if you're suffering with trauma that causes it. And then with the academic side of it, school was kind of like my way to succeed. It was what I was told. It's what every child is told. And a big part of me doesn't agree with mainstream education for this reason. You are told that you are as successful as your academic grades, not even your sport and creative grades. They don't really matter. English, maths and science, you must do well in those. Otherwise, you won't succeed. They're the ones that all your time and effort and energy have to go on. They're the ones that you have to perfect. So that's what I was doing until it all got too much and I avoided it because I couldn't keep up that perfection, which I'd worked so hard for. Then kickboxing was entirely different because I was useless. I couldn't even do one press up when I began. I was so useless compared to everyone else, but there was just that little part of me that admired them, and determination, resilience. I wasn't going to give up. A big part of me wanted to give up, screaming at me, why are you doing this? You're no good at this. You can't even do one press up. You're too unfit. You're too small. You're too much of a girl. All of these things. But I was like, no, shut up. Shut up, voice inside my head. I am doing this. I am a kickboxer. I am going to improve. And that was the key, I think. And the losses, the not being perfect, the having to overcome failure time and time again. I think it was a blessing in disguise, because I didn't have that pressure. I put it on myself. And that's why I'm so grateful to now be learning how to overcome it. In business, it's extremely important. Even a year ago, compared to where I was a year ago to where I am now, it's okay to have a day off. It's okay to relax. It's okay to do something fun. Play is essential. Rest is essential, not just productivity and what we can do all the time. We have to enjoy it too. So I think that answers your question.
It does. It's beautiful. And I agree about rest. I just had two big launches last month, and today it's early in the morning here when I'm recording this. And I said, okay, today I'm going to go on a hike. I'm going to just do like normal day stuff and set my business to the side. And I think that's when we're rejuvenated. And I think part of the reason this conversation is moving me so much, anyone who's watching this can see me wiping my eyes and I'm like, is there mascara on my face? I'm feeling so emotional because I really think that your journey in, you know, going from a person with a debilitatingly low self-esteem to the person you are today, who might still struggle if you're like me with that self-esteem, but you do it anyway. It's so symbolic and metaphorical of my journey as a business person. And, you know, I work so hard to create this business. And I really think that the very hardest part is the mental game. So anyone listening, if you have ambition to really boost your hypnosis practice or whatever line of work you're in, the mental game is the hardest. And if you start to understand, everyone deals with that imposter monster. We all, just last night, I was so tired. I hadn't slept well the night before. And I literally, in my head, I was thinking, oh, I just need to throw in the towel. I'm just going to close down my business and go back to being a hairstylist. And this is something I do to myself from time to time. And so I think something about the tenacity and the resilience that you've built up through your kickboxing career is is, that's why I can see you on stage. Like, you have set yourself up for success. And I think anyone can develop that tenacity. And part of it is listening to this podcast, modeling the people who have done it. And when you hear that voice in your head, realize it's not true. Yeah, it feels scary, it feels true, but you have it in you and you can keep going. Will you talk to me? Something you said earlier really jumped out at me. You mentioned that you went to Southeast Asia on your own for 2 months. And that, again, is something that I admire so much and something I've always wanted to do and have only just started in the last few years traveling more. Talk to me about what led you there and how it changed you to do that.
I think what led me there is I've always had a desire to travel. Freedom, I think, is the key there. I've spent a lot of time working out what my core values are. My core values are honesty, courage, and freedom. So I'm honest. I do a daily lunchtime live in my Facebook group. And I just talk about my day. If it's going well, if it's going badly, how I'm feeling, what I'm doing, honestly. And people love that. They say I've got this natural energy, this natural authenticity. Courage. It's quite obvious. You need courage to fight. You need courage to go self-employed. I've got courage. And then freedom. It's one of my deepest desires to be free. Financial freedom, but physical location freedom too. And I had savings because I'd always been working really hard in the pub. And so although it wasn't the best pay, I was the front of house manager and I was doing okay. I was working very hard for my income, but I wasn't fulfilled. I wasn't going anywhere. I had worked my way up through a small family run business to become the front of house manager. And that was it. That was the top level, really. And kickboxing, the club had failed, so I'd lost that and I didn't really know what to do. So I went to Europe a couple of times, each time stepping out of my comfort zone a little bit more. I went with a friend, then I went on my own, and then I thought, well, what am I going to do? I really, really want to go to Thailand. I really want to. So I spoke to my boyfriend and he said no, he wasn't going to allow it. And so then I had to make a really tough decision. I was like, we're going to split up. So I flew out on the 6th of January. We split up just before Christmas. I still had Christmas dinner with his mum though, because I didn't want to break her heart. That was awkward. And yeah, I went out on my own. I got on a plane to Kuala Lumpur in Malaysia. And a couple of weeks later, we got back together, me and my boyfriend. It has a happy ending. We're still together now. Aww. And we're stronger than ever now. Constant ups and downs, as relationships have, nothing is perfect. But I actually think going self-employed, relying on each other, opening up about vulnerability and communication has been essential. And again, it's tough, but we're stronger than ever. And with regards to freedom, I dedicated to kickboxing, which prevented me from traveling. But there was still part of me that knew that I will go traveling again, but I want to become a black belt. I want to become a champion. I don't want to let my class down. I don't want to let my gym down. And I had these things, fears holding me back, but also real things that I need to dedicate to. Otherwise I wouldn't have achieved what I have. So it was important. And then this year, the beginning of this year, I realized I flew home on March the 23rd. So before lockdown, although I think lockdown began around that date,
yeah.
I set the goal that by March the 23rd, 2025, I will be in Thailand again. I will not just be on holiday in Thailand. I will be running retreats in Thailand. I will be speaking in Thailand. I now don't want to run the retreat. I've done some mindset work on this and I thought I don't want to actually run it because I don't want to be part of hospitality anymore. It's hard work. Mm-hmm. I want to be a guest speaker there, a guest kickboxing coach, hypnotherapist, inspirational speaker at this retreat in Thailand. And 5 years is long enough away that the world will have returned to some form of traveling normality and we will be out there. If you're out there as well, Laurie, that would be fantastic.
I was going to say, I want an invite. You let me know when this is happening and I will be in the front row.
Let's do it. Definitely. So that's why I went. And then, yeah, when I was out there, it was great, really. But it was missing something. It was great. But after a while, I got to the point where I was like, well, what am I doing? I'm just going around eating food and seeing another beach. And so in the future, I really want to combine that taking time away from my life, but also using it as time to reflect upon myself, improve my personal development. So before the retreat in 5 years' time, I want to go on holiday and I want to write a book, for instance. So I want to take that time out of the day-to-day running of my business and schedule it in a holiday, but a personal development holiday.
I love that. Tell me real quick, I should know this, but where are you located?
I'm in the southeast of England.
Okay.
I'm south of London on the coast.
Okay. I know when I've traveled, the little bit of travel that I've done just in the past few years, because I had never hardly been out of the state at all, except for little road trips with my family. And I tell people it's like I had this gypsy trapped inside me because I just want to see the world. And the couple times that I've been to Europe, there's some scary things when you travel, especially if you don't speak the language, if you don't understand the transportation, there can be these moments of, oh, yeah. Shoot, I don't know how to do this. And I think moving past that is also something that generates resilience inside as we realize I was in this scary situation. There was nobody to help me and I figured out how to get through it. And it helps you change on an identity level, don't you think?
Absolutely. And you're on your own, but you connect with other people out of necessity. Mm-hmm. I stayed in a lot of hostels and there's this hostel backpacking community. I remember flying to Bangkok on my own because I did a trek in Burma and I had been traveling with a girl. So I wasn't completely on my own. When I flew out to Kuala Lumpur on my own and I met a girl from Russia. So we're pretty different, but we both didn't quite have the courage to travel completely on our own. So we met up the other side of the world and traveled together for about a month and a half. And it's good because it got me out there, but there were differences and they started to notice over time. And eventually after a month and a half, we separated, we went separate ways. And then I was like, okay, I'm going to fly back to Bangkok because Thailand's an easier country. I like Thailand. I'll go back there. Then I'll work out how I'm going to get to Vietnam. I'll skip Cambodia because I don't have enough time left. Working it all out, this panic on my own completely now. But I got back there and I walked into the hostel and there was a guy, a German guy that I'd met in the south of Thailand a few weeks earlier. And it was like, I've only met this guy for a couple of days, but it was like welcoming a best friend. Like, I know you, we can do this together. And it was just incredible, that feeling, that connection. It's so real because it's unfamiliar. Everything is so unfamiliar. So when you like talking about the unconscious mind, when you walk down your street at home in your local town, you don't notice anything. You know everyone, but you don't feel the need to communicate with them, say hi to them. You're busy in your own mind doing whatever you're doing. But when you're in an unknown environment, you're thinking about everything. You're aware of everything and you don't know anything. And it's scary. And then you see something familiar. It's like, wow, this is incredible. So I love it. Yeah,
that's incredible. I know when I travel, oftentimes it's the same thing where partway through I'll think, well, what am I doing? I'm just going out to restaurants. And I started to notice that when I'm traveling, a lot of times the beautiful things I observe, because I am more present in an unusual setting, I'll think, well, I have this back home. And it helps me when I come back home to be more mindful and appreciative of the beauty and the people and the little, like I can duck down a little random side alley here, just like I can when I'm in Europe and find something adventurous. And so that always drifts. Like when I first come back, I'm more mindful, but then, you know, we kind of drift into our normal routine. So even having this conversation with you is going to help me start to appreciate the beauty, especially for those of us who love to travel and really can't right now. There's so much beauty right there if you're really present and start to hone in on that. Yeah. So you had mentioned your daily lunchtime live and I've tuned in. I don't stop and watch people's videos very often because I love them so much that I'll get sucked in and I will never get anything done. But I've tuned into a couple of yours and you are incredible. I totally agree that you have this way of just exuding this genuine authenticity and that inner coach comes through and I feel inspired when I hear you speak. And so I'm wondering if you'll talk a little bit about what gave you the courage to start making those videos. Was that really easy at first, or what did you have to overcome some hurdles to start doing that?
I had to overcome hurdles to do it. I had I'm big on habit formation. I find habit creation really interesting. So obviously hypnotherapy helps with habit removal too, and that's something that I enjoy. But I knew that I needed to create this habit to make myself do it. Create a routine. Routine is essential. So when you're training to fight, you establish a routine, because your willpower will drop. You might have all the motivation in the world to start off with, but then a day will come on, you're too busy, something comes up and you don't do it anymore. Lockdown hit. I tried to create a routine. I tried to do it. I hate the word try. And I remember one time in the gym before a class, and I wasn't in the best mood that day, but I was talking to a friend and I was like, I really need to go live. I really don't want to go live. I really don't know what to say. I really don't want everyone to judge me. Oh no, kind of really nervous. But I did it, and it wasn't very good. The first ones never are. But I felt good that I managed to do it, but I stopped doing it regularly. Lockdown hit. I had a couple of days of panic, anxiety. What am I going to do? Shall I give up everything? I can't coach kickboxing anymore. I can't earn an income. And then I sat down and I thought, no, you can. You can coach kickboxing. Just because you haven't done it online yet doesn't mean you can't. So create that routine. Speak to the women you coach. Ask them if they'll join you on Zoom. Give it a go. Learn how to do it together. And that was how Fighting Fit Together was created. Lockdown pushed me to go online. And then I realized that I was dedicating everything to my business and my eating had gone out the window. Some days I would hit 3 o'clock in the afternoon and I still hadn't made time to eat. I was worrying about how to record a video and make it look good. I was worried about the stupid details of how do I get a website and how am I going to do this and how am I going to do that? It's like, no, no, it's important to look after your own health first. As a self-employed person, more than anybody, we need to look after our own health. And especially if we're coaching other people, we want to help them to the best of our ability. So we need to be functioning at the best of our ability. So I was like, okay, you need to have lunch. Habit stack, going live with lunch. You want to develop this skill. If you don't practice, it won't improve. There's no point sitting there going, oh dear, my first video wasn't very good. I give up, because that's not what I do. I want to improve. I need to practice. It all comes back to that. The same with the fighting, same with the speaking, the same with the hypnotherapy. If you don't practice, you don't get out there and you don't go and do it, you'll stay crap, basically. So since then, I've done it every Monday to Friday at 1 o'clock. I do my lunchtime live. They vary from 2 minutes to 10 minutes, just a little bit about my day, what I'm doing, if I've got anything insightful to tell people. Today, it was a quick one in the car. I'm on my way to record a podcast with Laurie. I'm a little bit nervous. I'm stepping out of my own comfort zone, if I'm being completely honest, but if I can do it, you can do it too. There we go. And that was it. Short and sweet. So
that makes me so happy. I really, really think you have said something key that I want people listening to really internalize. And this is the idea of habits and routines and putting your health first. I was jotting down notes as you were typing. You mentioned the term habit stack. Will you talk to me a little bit more about that?
So habit stacking is, I read it in Atomic Habits by James Clear. I'm sure it's not an entirely new concept, and I was doing it before I read about it. I just didn't have a name for it. It's where you take a habit that you currently do and you stack a habit that you want to create onto that habit. So it takes the conscious decision out of the process. So when you get up in the morning, if you make yourself a coffee, you can habit stack something. I habit stack writing my morning gratitudes in that gap where the kettle's boiling. What do? Mindlessly scroll Facebook, probably, is my guess. So remove that bad habit and put in a positive habit. It could be gratitude. It could be doing press-ups. One that I recommend to people quite a lot when they say, I can't do press-ups. I've been there. I know what it's like. I know how you have to build that physical ability. So use your kitchen side. It's about the perfect height. Do some press-ups against it. That builds the strength. And if you start doing that every time you boil your kettle, if you drink regular cups of coffee or regular cups of tea, you will build that strength over time. And before you know it, you will be able to do press-ups without changing anything. You don't really have to make big changes.
Yes. I so love that you said this, that yesterday on my group call, I do group calls in my Weight Loss Without Willpower program every week, and this was our topic. And so I learned this from BJ Fogg, who wrote a book called Tiny Habits. And it's the same thing. And this is how I developed my workout practice, is just every morning, my routine was, after I go to the bathroom, I'm going to do 30 seconds of, I'm going to move my body for 30 seconds. So it could have been 30 seconds of jumping jacks or squats or push-ups, which in the US push-ups, and in the UK press-ups. But these little tiny habits, and this is such a great way also to counter our inner perfectionist, because we're just doing tiny little bite-sized chunks, and it's something that's doable. And over time, that compound effect is just absolutely phenomenal. I love that you brought that up. That is so, so incredible. This has been so beautiful. And I feel like I'm looking at the time and it's been less than an hour. And I feel like I have just gotten this masterclass in taking action. Is there anything at all that you would want the listener to understand about you, about their ability to move forward? Anything else you want to share before we say goodbye?
The majority of listeners of this podcast are just starting out on their journey, aren't they?
I think many of them, yes.
In that case, I've got a story to tell them, the story of Michael. So I'm practicing, and today I've got the really good news that the guy that I worked with, he now no longer has a coffee drinking habit. I hypnotized him and I removed that habit. So that's the happy ending of the story. But I messed up. I messed up big time. Luckily, I was practicing and he was very good about it. His name's Matthew Barnes. He's my hypno buddy at the moment as part of the Jack Quinn Hypnosis Academy. And I called his subconscious mind Michael. So I was speaking to the part that runs his coffee drinking habit, Michael's subconscious mind. So I got it completely wrong. But I ran the session. I managed to carry on and it worked. The habit has been removed, but I'm not perfect. And that's okay, because I'm learning. And I think the moral of the story is, it doesn't have to be perfect to be effective.
Yes. And
yeah, I'm constantly learning. And as every time I practice, my confidence increases. And that is the feedback that I get from everybody that I hypnotize. I'm a very confident hypnotist. I think that is because I can anchor the confidence of a champion, because I've experienced it in the ring. And I had to spend a lot of time working towards it. So I called my business I Am Fighting Fit, because I used to scream at myself. My head, that voice inside my head would scream, I'm not fit enough, I'm not fit enough, in this state of panic, losing fights. So guess what? I wasn't fit enough. It was only when I reframed that thinking that I am fighting fit, I am a champion, and I turned up and I was ready to win. I knew that I'd done all the fitness I needed to do. Physically, I hadn't changed a lot. I just mentally improved, stronger mindset. And that was how I became a champion. And I can take that now into my hypnosis. And I know that I metaphorically am a champion hypnotherapist and inspirational speaker. I don't have to spend those 5 years of losing and being punched in the face to get there. I know that I can anchor that confidence. And I also now want to anchor that confidence into other people.
The things we say to ourselves are so powerful. And for you just to simply change the voice in that head, I tell people, two things can't be in the same place at the same time. So if you're telling yourself, I am fighting fit, I am fighting fit, then that voice that was saying you're not fit enough can't fit, because your head is full of that positive, powerful voice. You mentioned anchoring. Will you just talk a little bit about how you do that and how people who are listening can do the same?
I'm not actually that confident at anchoring. That's a great question to
ask. Well, we can discuss it together.
But it's where you can visualize a memory where you felt a feeling really strongly, a really powerful one, and you can create a motion. So the most common one is with your fingers. And so then whenever you do that motion, you draw back that feeling, and you can do it wherever you are, however you're feeling. I can actually do it without any physical. I can just take a breath in, feel what it felt like to be there, relax my shoulders. That's a key. Maybe that's the anchor for me. There we go. I've created the anchor of relaxing my shoulders. And that's how I visualize being a champion.
I love that. That's brilliant. I'll share really quickly I talk about the three B's, and the three B's are breathing, body language, and beliefs. And all beliefs are is the voice that's in our head right now. And when you change those three things, I really think it's the most powerful form of self-hypnosis in the whole world. And I don't think it clicked for me until just as you were speaking that changing those three B's is in and of itself an anchor. So if you notice, I've been teaching people, Andrew Huberman, a neuroscientist, teaches the physiological sigh. So anyone listening right now, do this with us. So it's two breaths in with a sigh. So if you've ever seen someone who's been crying really hard and they start to calm down, they'll often go, and that offloads stress chemicals from the body. It offloads the cortisol, the adrenaline, and puts you into the parasympathetic nervous system, which is the rest and digest. And so then if you just simply, like you said, Jess, imagine, you know, maybe that a string is pulling you up from the top of the head and it's letting the rest of your body just relax and align and those shoulders relax. And then you say to yourself, I am fighting fit, or whatever something is that just means powerful forward momentum. For me last night, I was doing this when I was thinking, I just need to close down my business and go back to doing hair. I was telling myself, I am making a difference. I was thinking about all the people that are leaving testimonials in my current launch that I'm doing. And, you know, we have the power to change those things in our lives.
I think you just brought something back in my memory. I think embodiment is powerful too, because the way that I warm up now before my last three fights, the ones I've won, I shared a changing room with the girl, the fighter who beat me in my final loss, the horrible one, the horrible fight. But she's not a horrible person. She's a fighter. She was there to win. She's fine. She's respectful. And I watched her warming up, and I watched the way she moved and the confidence that she had created. She wasn't confident, and I saw it. When I fought her in the ring, she was hard as anything. Absolutely nothing fazed her. But I watched her warming up with her headphones in, looking nervous, but dealing with her body language, dealing with those emotions that we all have to deal with. They don't go away. They don't ever go away. You learn to manage them better, but that fear response is there when you're stepping out of your comfort zone. And I watched her. And then since then, I've had this ability to almost embody her, because I lost so badly to her and she hid it so well while I was in the ring. I didn't realize at the time that actually she was struggling with the same emotions before walking out. But if she can do it, I can do it too. And I sort of almost, I copied her patterns, but put my own take on it. And it's all about standing up tall, rolling your shoulders back, hands relaxed, and then on your toes. So if you're a boxer or a kickboxer, you'll know what that means. It just means you're sort of light moving about, warming up, instead of tense, really big, powerful punches like you see some men doing, like, thinking, like, acting really big. It's like, actually, no, just relax. And with that calm comes that confidence. And that was how I became a champion, going out into that ring, relaxing my shoulders, being light on my toes, looking across the ring at her, as I had happened to me when I lost, just letting her know, I'm going to win. I'm confident that I'm going to beat you. And in my head, I was like, I'm here to become a champion. Even though moments before, I'd been like, oh, I'm really nervous. But no, hide it, embody that confidence. That is who I am. I think that's powerful.
That is powerful. And I think most training hypnotists, one of the first things we learn is how important it is to be confident and what's in NLP we call congruent. And I think sometimes we think we have to really be that confident, but the truth is we can embody a person who has that confidence and show up. So for me, I trained with Mike Mandel, and I would just go to my appointments as Mike Mandel. And when you let yourself embody another person, it's really not faking it till you make it. Rather, I think that it's unlocking that resource that is inside you. There is a confident part of you. And when you let yourself embody a person who models that for you, it allows you to step into it yourself. I'm so happy you brought that up.
I heard Freddie on your podcast as well. And one of his quotes, I think he was quoting Erickson, but I'll quote Freddie because that's who I heard it from. And it was when he said, I have my doubts, but I don't doubt my ability to keep my doubts to myself. And then you realize that Freddie's doing it too. Fred, you're doing it too. I hear your podcast, but I've heard you say, I got nervous before I asked Freddie.
Yeah.
We're all doing it. We're all out there. We're all doing our best at what we're currently doing in this moment in time. We're all good at what we do. We're all the best we can possibly be. But we all feel it. We all have that voice inside our head. And it's that ability to keep it to ourselves, quieting it, and show up. Show up with that sense of purpose. And that's how we overcome it. Making sure our purpose, our why, our North Star, whatever it is that drives us. And as therapists, coaches, that will be to help others. In some way, we will be improving the lives of others. And that purpose, that's what inspires us when it gets tough. That's why you're not going to go back to becoming a hairdresser. That's why I'm not going to go back to working in a pub. I've felt it, except the pubs are shut, so I can't. But we have that purpose within us. And that will keep us strong. That will keep us stepping out of our comfort zone.
Absolutely. Absolutely. This is so brilliant. I am so incredibly grateful that you reached out to me. This would have been such a loss for me and for the people listening if you hadn't. So thank you from the bottom of my heart for reaching out. I'm so emotional. This is like the coolest interview. Jessica, before we say goodbye, will you tell people how they can reach out to you if someone wants to work with you or receive coaching from you? I'll put the notes below, but what's the best way to do that? And how do you work with people?
So there's a couple of ways. I'm growing my Facebook group. That's where I do my lunchtime lives. And then you can either link that below, Laurie, or on my website, www.iamfightingfit.co.uk. That's my main website. And then it needs updating, though, always. I think everybody new in business says, oh, it needs updating, though. It's on the to-do list. But the thing that I'm most proud of at the moment is my membership site, my Fighting Fit Together. It's my community. It's the heart of what I do. And it's about personal development. It includes a live kickboxing class weekly on Tuesday at 6:30 UK time. I do have a lady training with me from America. And it includes a monthly group coaching session on mindset or nutrition, or a combination of the two, often about creating healthier habits and identifying areas of our lives, our motivations, and what we're working towards, but coming up with solutions together, supporting each other. And we do a monthly book club. So we pick a book of the month and we meet up weekly to discuss the book, how it's impacting our lives. It's another way of self-reflection as part of a community. So another way of offering support and advice and looking at different perspectives, because we all read a couple of chapters of a self-help, personal development, whatever book it is that month, and we all take it in slightly differently. So it's really interesting. I didn't realize I was going to love that part of my membership as much as I do. I thought it was going to be predominantly focused on the kickboxing, but the book club element I'm also very passionate about as well. That's and so then also awesome. There's going to be the hypnotherapy, but that will be on a one-to-one basis. Okay. So I've got people lined up to offer hypnotherapy to. I'll have to get that on the website quickly. When is this coming out?
You tell me when you're ready and I will have this podcast ready.
Well, I don't have hypnotherapy services on any website yet. If this is anytime soon, if it's in a few weeks, then I'll get them on the website. But if not, message me and okay. I can communicate with people directly. They don't.
Are you comfortable giving us your email address?
Yeah, it's jess@iamfightingfit.co.uk.
Okay. I think
just my website too.
Okay. So if you want to get that up, great. And if not, I think the fact that we're talking about doing it imperfectly will appeal to people and they'll understand. I know my website is always a work in progress and I've had it on my to-do list for like weeks. Update your homepage. And it just keeps moving and moving and moving, but I'm doing things that I think make a bigger difference I think hypnotists, anyone listening, and I might just leave all this in here because I love it when people can see the raw conversation. When so many people wait to build a perfect website before they launch their business. And I'm telling you, my website has gotten me almost zero business. The people who come to me, I send them to my website. They come to me through Facebook or referral or all these places. And then I send them to the website. And by then they already know me because like you, I make videos. So these videos are building rapport with people. And so because they already know, like, and trust me, it's okay that my website is imperfect. So stop waiting to build the perfect website and start getting out there and sharing your gift.
Yeah, I definitely think leave it in. I like it.
Good, good.
I'm so glad. I think it's important to acknowledge that it's not perfect and it doesn't have to. It changes. Like, I was happy with it a few weeks ago and I didn't know that, oh, I need to add hypnotherapy services on there now because I'm offering them. But at the moment, I'm offering them in my Facebook group to people who need my help right now because we're just going into lockdown again. And I don't really need it on my website. And somebody explained this to me, a marketing guy, how you have your bronze, your silver and your gold. Your gold is serving people, helping them, offering them therapy, speaking, this podcast. If I wasn't here talking to you now and I was sitting at home putting hypnotherapy services on my website to make it perfect before I spoke to you, would anybody be booking those hypnotherapy services? No. Because I'm here now doing this and then I will be going and I will be helping people, they will then tell people. And are they even going to look at my website? Probably not. And so it's not a gold priority. It might be a silver one, but probably not. It's probably a bronze priority because I say silver's the podcast. Gold is actually running the sessions and changing people's lives. Silver's talking about it, getting to know people. I heard one of the analogies that you used about Facebook being like inviting people into your front room. So my Facebook group especially, and my personal profile, that's me inviting you in to get to know me. I don't expect you to buy from me, use my services, until you know who I am, until you feel comfortable around me, until you're ready for that. And my website is like the billboard down the road. Like, you can look at it as you walk by, but you probably won't take much notice. It's got my details on there. And if you really want to book through my website, it will be on there. But come and get to know me. Come into my front room, join me on Facebook, come and speak to me, send me a message. That's how you'll know if we connect or not.
This is so beautiful. I'm learning from you and anyone tuning in. What Jessica just shared, please take it to heart. This is pure gold and this is what will actually move you forward in your business. So I'm so grateful to you. This has been an absolutely beautiful start to my day. And I want to stay connected with you. Let me know what you're doing and how I can get the word out there. And I cannot wait to watch you absolutely skyrocket forward. I know you are going to do great things and are already doing great things. So thank you so much, Jessica, from the bottom of my heart. Thank you for being here.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. I just realized.
Okay, so go ahead and tell me what you were going to say.
So the power of I am and accepting that I am an inspirational speaker. And I was speaking to a guy, again, part of the hypnotherapy training that I'm doing with the Jacquins. His name is Young Abundant on his followings. His name's Jay. But he said, as soon as you embrace the I am a speaker, that's when you become it. If you're practicing speaking, it's like, well, what am I doing now? I'm on a podcast. I'm speaking. But I prefer the term inspirational speaker over motivational speaker. I didn't know why, but it was what in my gut I felt was the right term, even though motivational speaker is the more popular one. So I went and I did a little search on Google and Simon Sinek came up explaining the difference between motivation and inspiration and how motivation is actually very external. It relies on an external reward or fear. So when we are motivated, we're working towards something we desire, or we're working away from something we want to prevent. But motivation is affected by those external factors, whereas inspiration comes from within us. It's a feeling, it's a desire, it connects back to our purpose. So when we're inspired to make change, we don't have to be motivated. It's possible to be inspired to do something, even when we're not feeling like it. Even when we're not motivated today, we can't see the external reward. So we might be practicing, we might be learning, reading, developing something. As a hypnotherapist, we might not feel like it today. We might not have that external motivation to go out there and read another hypnotherapy script. But we have that internal, that inspiration that we know that the study that we put in now, the practice that we put in now, the overcoming that comfort zone, silencing the imposter monster, we will affect the lives of others. We don't need that external factor.
Absolutely. And you mentioned we had turned off the recording and Jessica and I were thinking we should put this back on because we were talking about these amazing things. You mentioned when you were working with Matthew/Michael and you had the script and went off script. Will you talk to me a little bit about going off script and why you like to do that. Yeah.
So it was actually Carl Smith that inspired me. There we go, going back to inspiration. But I have never felt comfortable reading the scripts. They sound like Freddie and Anthony to me. It's and I understand that you need to learn the fundamentals of, say, parts negotiation. And I'm at the point now where I know how it works. I don't need to read the script. The same with the protocols that we learn, the time machine, the arrow. I don't need the script for them anymore. It's easier to read the script because I don't have to rely on myself. I don't have that fear of getting it wrong because I'm just following the script. And that's, I could justify that in my mind. I could say, that's okay, I'm learning, I'm practicing. But actually, I am a hypnotherapist in my own right. I'm learning under them. And some of the phrases that I use will sound like them, but 95% of it is now my own. And the feedback that I have had from the sessions that I've run so far are that I have this confidence in how I deliver my sessions. And I think that is because I have allowed myself to step out of my comfort zone and put in my own phrases, my own. I'm not following a script anymore. I'm being me. I am changing people's lives. I'm not just reading a script. And I think that is important. And I think it is, like, I think I even used the example a minute ago in the motivation, learning another script. But if you are holding back from getting out there and practicing, you don't need to learn another script. You need to trust yourself. You need to have a faith in your own ability and know that you know it. And your voice is the one that they need to hear to guide them through hypnosis.
And go out there and start practicing before you have that, because the only way you get that confidence and trust in yourself is by doing it, and doing it even though it's scary.
Yeah, even if you get their name wrong, it's still <not.
laughs> Yeah, I was saying, I think I've messed up in just about every session. I mess up in some way. So if you're waiting to do it until you can do it perfectly, you might as well go do a different career, because you're never going to have it just right. It's okay to do it imperfectly. And when you, like you said, when you understand the principles underneath the different protocols, and you can understand them, tell yourself, I can understand this. What is the principle underneath? And your unconscious mind is going to unlock it for you as you're looking at that script. And then you can just go off script. So I heard this term patter a while back, and it's like these little, to me, Freddie always says, as he'll talk about on a cellular level, on a molecular level. And so I've adopted these little, like, I have these little Freddie patterns and these little Mike Mandel patterns and Carl Smith patterns and, like, just little phrases that I'll use here and there, but I don't do the scripts. Sometimes in a group session, I'll create a script or bullet points for my session. But on my one-on-ones, I let my client give me the script when they talk about what they want, and I'll repeat that back to them. And it's just, it, when you learn to trust yourself, and the only way you're going to do it is by doing it, just start to trust yourself. That's where the magic happens.
I've actually come up with my own.
I would love to hear if you want to share.
I've been thinking about this. It kept me awake last night. I was like, oh, do I or don't I? If I do this on a podcast, how many people will hear it? But as I am all for stepping out of my comfort zone, and this is all about stepping out of your comfort zone, I guess I'll give it a go.
It doesn't
have a script because I'm still creating it. So that's another thing. Creativity, it can't be wrong. So takes only a couple of minutes, and you will feel fantastic after this. So if you're ready to be hypnotized, if you're sitting comfortably, take a nice deep breath in, breathing in optimism and positivity, and breathing out, feeling relaxation going through your body, allowing your eyes to close only as soon as you're ready to enter a profound state of hypnosis, a place where it's peaceful for you to be. Ignoring your surroundings, nothing matters, nobody needs anything, just for this moment is for you. Appreciate this moment, enjoy this moment, and acknowledge that you're leaving your body now. You're going to a place, a cliff, a big cliff. Take a look around, feel it, feel what it feels like to be on the edge of this cliff. This cliff is the edge of your comfort zone. Feel that fear in the pit of your stomach, but know that everything is okay. have a faith, have a trust, a faith and a trust in yourself, and know that you have wings inside of you. Know that they're there, feel them, ready to bring you to freedom. But before you feel these feelings, this freedom, you're going to have to step off of the cliff. So one more look around, see the sea below you crashing against the rocks, and feel it. Feel that fear that you cannot get rid of, the fear that you're going to overcome. And I'm going to ask you to be brave. I'm going to count from one to three, and then I'm going to say jump. And then you will jump off the cliff and hear whoosh as your wings develop. Ready? One, feel that fear. Two, know there's no turning back. Three, ready and jump. And whoosh. Free, freedom, calm. Take a look around. Take a look at your wings, the most magnificent, most beautiful wings. You may not have seen them before. They may be new to you, but experience them now and know that they are always within you. Whenever you have to step out of your comfort zone, whenever you have to overcome a fear, know that inside you, you have the most beautiful, magnificent wings to support you, to guide you, to allow you to fly to your freedom. Look around. What does freedom look like? Feel it. Fully embrace it. And take that feeling with you. Take it inside you. And know that you can access that feeling. All it takes is a split moment of fear, jumping off of that cliff. And that will never go. Moment, but it's worth it. Look at the beauty, look at the scenery. This is your world, this is your freedom. Take it in one more time, take one more look at your wings and feel it. Lock it in deep inside you, but ready to allow you to float free, flying into your freedom whenever you need it. And only as quickly as you are ready to bring that back to you, back to your physical body, back to the room, but knowing it's always within you, that confidence, that calm, floating freedom, you will allow your eyes to open.
That was incredible.
Did anything cut out? It said the internet went unstable. And oh, I was no, like, oh, no.
I heard you the whole time. It didn't cut out for me. So, and I'm sure okay. We'll be good on the recording, but I felt like I could feel the wind on my face. I could feel the expansiveness. When you said, look at your wings, I saw like these massive, iridescent, just beautiful. And I just like to anyone listening, can you imagine if Jessica had stayed in her comfort zone as that little 19-year-old girl and never done kickboxing? Can you imagine if she had stayed in her comfort zone and never reached out and said, can I be on your podcast? Or if she had stayed in her comfort zone and not shared that potentially life-changing protocol that you just did with us? Like, I feel like for me now, when my imposter monster screams in my ear, all of a sudden those wings are just going to sprout and I'm going to feel the breeze on my face and I'm going to see the view from up here. Like, it's scary getting up here. And like you said, that voice, it doesn't go away, but I've learned to make the voice something that where I can say, okay, yeah, I see you. I'm scared. Here I go. And just do it anyway.
Well, I'm glad I did it. It wasn't perfect. There were a couple of bits where I was like, oh no, you got the words wrong. And then I was like, it doesn't matter. Nobody yep. knows. And yep. I don't even know what the words are because I'm creating them. And on that note, I want to say where it came from, the inspiration for this protocol, I guess.
Yeah.
It came from Kurt Vonnegut and his quote, we have to be continually jumping off cliffs and allowing our wings to develop on the way down. So he's an American writer, and I was doing some research for a mindset masterclass that I was running on stepping out of your comfort zone. And back then I just read the quote and said, this is an amazing quote, but it somewhere in my brain, it registered that could actually be quite profound and I can turn it into something. So I'm just, using creativity. And like I said, there's no right or wrong answer. It's not quite the arrow technique yet, but one day I'll be teaching it all around the world.
Yeah, I think it's pretty awesome. It's transformational, and I love the simplicity. I love how you made me truly feel and experience being on the edge of that cliff and soaring above, and those wings that are inside me just coming out at the perfect time.
Oh, thank you. I'm glad it worked, because I haven't experienced it myself.
Well, when this podcast comes out, you'll have to sit and listen to yourself hypnotize yourself. Or share it with someone and let them do it. I would even do it with you. So
thank you.
This is so awesome. Thank you so much. I'm so grateful for your time. And is there anything else you want to add before we wrap up in real life?
I think the last thing that came into my mind when we turned the record off, and I thought, oh, I didn't say that. Becoming a hypnotist or becoming a hypnotherapist, we're always seeking that one more script, one more diploma, one more, maybe it's even one more practice session before we charge for the value that we are providing. And you don't have a definite, but even if you are given a definite, I became a black belt. And the first day that I stepped into the gym with a black belt around my waist, I tied it up and I stood and I looked around and I had this voice inside my head that said, you're not really a black belt, you're just you. Like, people might realize that you're not actually a black belt. So it's always there, even if you know, I know that, and now I'm a second degree black belt and I'm so much more confident in my black belt abilities than I've ever been. But to begin with, I felt like an imposter black belt, even after spending 5 hours proving that I was a black belt, I still had that voice there. So don't allow that voice to stop you, because it will be there. You just have to allow your wings to develop and fly.
Jessica, thank you so much. And thank you to everyone who listened. I'm so grateful for you. And I cannot wait to hear how you jump off that cliff and take flight yourself. Have an amazing day, everyone.
I'm so grateful you've listened all the way to the end. What is one tiny action step you'll take now based on an aha moment you got during the podcast? Maybe that life-changing action step is to come accept the gift I have for you at theimpostermonster.com. Head there right now to get your powerful hypnosis audio, The Answer Room, that lets you make important decisions and get crystal clear about your next step forward on this path of purpose in your one great and precious life.